You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
I got to turn that on, and I got to hit that button. Now we're good to go. Everything's fine today. Great to have you aboard. It is the Gym Class, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. Local programming continues here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Unash with you, Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, and Isaac on the other side of the glass. He's busily working today. As we had a little wrench thrown into the plans, but we're going to be fine. Everything's okay. We'll tell you about that coming up in a moment. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union, celebrating their 75th year. And check them out online at DuPaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. As they say, the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray, kids. And in the last 3 minutes, that's what happened. We were scheduled to have Joe Sheehan joining us today to talk some Major League Baseball. Isaac just got a message from Joe saying that he is unable, had something come up at the last minute. Maybe there's a big trade coming down. Maybe Ohtani's headed out of L.A. today. I don't know, but Joe's probably on it. Something big. We will reschedule, Joe. What you're working on next Wednesday, correct, Isaac?
Yeah, that's what I'm scheduling for the email now. I'll get back to you, obviously. Hopefully he'll get back to me on that. So, yeah, Wednesday right now, hopefully next Wednesday.
So we may have a – and that's post-trade deadline.
Yeah. I asked you if you would want to pre- or post-trade deadline Monday or Wednesday. So
it would be better for them probably – post trade deadline, because if things start to get hot and heavy on Monday, we'll also get another call saying I can't be on.
Yeah, that would make sense.
But anyway, we got a lot to get through on the program here today, and we might get to some baseball. You never know before 4 o'clock. Presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Text line available to you. Phone line available, both the same digits, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on a Tuesday edition of the program. And Mark joining me from his home on the southwest side. How you doing?
Doing great, Scott. Isaac, hello everyone out there. And yeah, it's USA Netherlands Eve, right?
Don't spoil things for Isaac, man. Don't spoil them. We'll talk. We'll get his soccer minute coming up before 4 o'clock here today. Also, we could have a, as 0835 reminds us on the text line at 319-366-1600, could have a big decision tonight. Tonight is supposed to be the Gable Stevenson decision coming down. Is he going to be coming to Iowa? Is he going to stay in the WWE? Remains to be seen. Never thought I'd be uttering the phrase, will blank athlete be coming to Iowa or staying in the WWE? Never thought I would ever say that in all my years on the radio, Mark.
Apparently, Gable Stevenson likes attention, and he's getting it. I mean, for those Iowa wrestling fans who are excited about the possibility, Stevenson first has to enter the transfer portal. To my knowledge, he hasn't done that. So the only collegiate team he can go to is Minnesota. And I doubt that will happen.
No. There are a lot of T's to be crossed and I's to be dotted. And by the way, Iowa's got a pretty good heavyweight in their own right, who's slated to be in that position again next year with Tony Cacioppo. So we'll see. Everyone's got their theories here. You know, Cacioppo's going to redshirt. Stevenson's going to come in. And everything is going to be hunky-dory in heavyweight land for the Hawkeyes. We'll see. We shall see. 319-366-1600. We start things off today. Sad news, Johnny Lujack passing away, the former Heisman Trophy winner. ties here in Eastern Iowa, and lived a long, long, healthy, successful life. What, 97, the former Notre Dame star was when he passed. Is that correct, Mark?
Yeah, he was 98 and 98. Died in Florida. Okay. He was in really good health until recently, according to stories I've read. 1947, Heisman Trophy winner. Don't remember a lot about that season. But Lou Jack and Notre Dame won three national titles during his career. And then he ended up in Davenport and owned a car dealership with his father-in-law for a period of time from 1954 until he sold it in 1988. Perhaps the Brommelkamps went over to Davenport from DeWitt to buy a vehicle from Johnny Luja. I don't know.
Stay tuned. At 4 o'clock, find out on the Todd Brommelkamp Show from 4 to 6 right here on KGYM. 98, that's a long, long life. And, man, he's got to be the longest. Prior to his passing, has to be the, what, oldest living Heisman Trophy winner, I would imagine. Probably not even close, right?
Probably not. I mean, think about Tom Herman. Who's gone, Niall Kinnick, gone. So, yeah, I can't confirm that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. And, of course, our thoughts go out to his family. Same news today about the cardiac arrest of Bronny James. A lot talked about that today on ESPN Radio and all around the platforms, various platforms, as far as not only ESPN but sports and boy, you hate to see that from anyone, but especially somebody with the talent that young Mr. James had, or has, I should say. And good thing he was probably on the court at USC when that happens. 319-366-1600 on this sunny Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here in Eastern Iowa. Big Ten Media Days get started tomorrow. Kirk Ferentz will be in Indianapolis on Wednesday. Half of the Big Ten coaches will be meeting the media on Wednesday. The other half will be on Thursday. We will actually talk with our friend Tom Cakert coming up on Thursday, and he will join us live from Indianapolis. Should be very interesting as far as Big Ten Media Days are concerned, especially I think when one particular coach of a team that wears purple in Evanston in Illinois gets up to the dais and up to the podium. But we shall see how that will play out. But as per usual, Mark, either the day prior or sometimes 2 days prior, the media, if you will, come together, secret ballot, and pick their picks on how the Big Ten football campaign, in their eyes, is going to play out for the season. And not a real big surprise. Michigan picked as the Big Ten champions, the Big Ten Eastern Division champions as well. And as far as the West is concerned, Wisconsin is the pick. And Luke Fickell, of course, taking over. As far as the Badgers are concerned, Hawkeyes picked to finish in the number two spot. Pretty much the poll, the unofficial official poll, Mark, of people that cover Big Ten teams kind of looks like every other poll that we've seen so far. Iowa picked second in the Big Ten West behind the Wisconsin Badgers. Not a lot of big surprises, if you will.
No, and just by a single point in the Big Ten West, Wisconsin had 233 points, Iowa 232. Wisconsin did outdistance the Hawkeyes in first place votes, 20-16. Minnesota got the remaining vote. And in the East, I mean, Michigan's won the last two, right? The Wolverines, and we'll get to their head coaching situation in a minute, but the Wolverines got 27 of 37 first place votes. Ohio State had 8 and Penn State 2. You mentioned Northwestern. It's 3 players who were scheduled to appear at Big Ten Football Media Days just within the last few minutes issued a statement that they will not be appearing. Didn't want to distract from things regarding what's going on with that hazing situation over in Evanston. So Northwestern players will not be there. The Cats predicted to finish a distant 7th in the West.
And I think that's probably the best course of action, to be honest with you, Mark. Nothing is going to come out of it. They're not going to say anything that's going to be news breaking. I think more harm than good can be done. It's just probably better that Northwestern brings the interim coach over and that's it. There's enough going on right now in Evanston, Illinois, around the Northwestern football program, that these 3 young men don't need to be scrutinized, by. And it was going to be the one coach and the set of players that was going to get the most attention out of Big Ten Media Days.
There would have been questions. So why is that the players declined to appear, in my opinion? In regards to this Cleveland.com poll of 37 writers from around the Big Ten, the West is very interesting in my mind. Behind Wisconsin and Iowa, you got Minnesota, followed by Illinois, Nebraska, Purdue, again, Northwestern. I think we're in agreement, Scott, based on our conversation earlier today. I'm sorry to say, but look out for Nebraska. Nebraska beat Iowa last year. New coach, how everybody assimilates to that situation is going to be key. But you look at the list of transfers that Nebraska has gotten. One is a linebacker from Georgia who played 39 games the last 2 years for the 2-time national champions. And there are others as well. I just kind of think, don't sleep on Nebraska.
I agree with you. I think the Huskers are the X factor. Love to hear from your opinion as well. 319-366-1600. I am much like Spencer in the show prior to ours, Spencer on Sports. Please listen every day, beginning at 2:00. I will not be making my final Big Ten predictions for another month or so. But right now, I agree with you. I think Nebraska is the team that I don't think we really have our thumb on as of yet, with Matt Rhule coming in, with all the transfers coming in. What's the quarterback situation going to look like? How's that going to play out in Lincoln? If you head to the fire here, I would put Illinois ahead of Minnesota, because defense travels, Mark, and Illinois has 2 of the better defenders in the Big Ten. They have the preseason defensive player of the year. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot. It means about as much as the USA Today picks of the Kansas City Chiefs winning 10 games. Right, Isaac? At any rate, yes, defense travels. And I like Illinois' defense. And just for that reason, I think I would, right now anyway, on July the 25th, I would sneak Illinois ahead of Minnesota on my picks at number 3. I'd bang Minnesota down to 4. Nebraska 5, and I think Purdue and Northwestern are pretty much solid 6-7s throughout everybody's particular poll, not only the folks that voted in the Cleveland.com one, but also most of them that I've seen prediction-wise on magazines, et cetera, also have Purdue and Northwestern 6-7.
Well, what may mean a lot is news today that Brett Bielema has hired Jim Leonard, the former defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, as a special analyst. You know he's going to concentrate on defense. Bielema now has four former Badger assistants on his staff, for whatever it's worth.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. New Big Ten commissioner in the Northwestern hazing investigation, Harbaugh Michigan investigation, new coaches in the Big Ten West. Nope, nothing to talk about at Big Ten Media Days this year. I mean, you're not going to get any incredibly earth-shattering information from Media Days. You're not going to pry out, okay, this is happening as far as X's and O's are concerned. This individual is doing this. That's what I meant by my earlier statement.
Two things I want to know, or one thing I want to hear is words from the new commissioner. And whether it's this week or next or whatever, I want to know how Kirk Ferentz feels about this gambling investigation, which apparently is going to shut down Noah Shannon, if not others. Is he frustrated that it has not come to a head and a conclusion before now? This goes back to summer when Iowa had to sit Keaton Anthony and a couple other players. What's taking so long? I mean, where's it going to end? How much time are these guys going to miss, if any? I doubt you will hear anything on that at Big Ten Football Media Day, but I think it's a legit question that has to be answered.
I would agree, and I think that the reason Shannon was originally picked as one of the representatives for Iowa, I think Kirk thought it was going to be this whole thing was going to be put to bed. It has not been. And for whatever reason, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we are basically in new horizons right now. How do we take care of this as far as the NCAA is concerned, or whomever is going to be the organization that dishes out punishments, if you will? I think they're still thinking it over, and I think they're taking their time. Nothing new as far as the NCAA is concerned. Iowa would like to see this certainly wrapped up before the season starts, so they know if it's Noah Shannon not playing the first two games, first game, first handful of games, who knows? Certainly not only Iowa, but I think Matt Campbell in Ames would like to know that particular answer as well.
The Gaming Commission, which I believe brought these applications to the fore, has not weighed in definitively yet either, I don't think.
Still ongoing. Matt in Fairfax, Iowa's schedule is obviously favorable, but I feel like it opens things up to Iowa dropping a very winnable game. He's already throwing out his prediction, 9-3, Matt in Fairfax is, for Iowa this year.
Would you 9-3.
Yeah. That's cause for celebration in a lot of other communities. Not so much in Iowa City. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in, I'm sure there are different levels of punishment depending on each player's involvement, on what they bet on, and age group. I don't know. I mean, this is all brand new. And it's all brand new how they're going to dish out the punishments for this. And I think they're struggling with it at the present time. And trust me, Kirk Ferentz, Matt Campbell, and others, if there are other coaches involved, and I'm sure there are other coaches involved, are hammering the NCAA, their phone lines, whatever lines, to get this thing rectified. And they want to know who wants or who is going to be on the field. They got to get that taken care of.
Yeah, 86-99 on the text line. Everything we heard earlier this summer pointed to a relatively easy with no serious laws broken. Whose court is the ball in right now? Still the DCI? Yeah, DCI, not the Gaming Commission. I don't know.
It could be both. They could be going at it together. Because
I think the Gaming Commission probably flagged it.
Very true. Very, very true. 10-2 or 11-1, says 0835. Of course, it's very apropos that we talk about all this today because it is July 25th, 7:25. That has been pointed out on social networking today, guys, because of the parameters put out by then athletic director Gary Barta to Iowa offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz. Isn't this wonderful how we can just put a nice little ribbon on everything like this?
You can just see what's going to happen, Scott. This team is going to go 10-2 and average 24 points a game. What does the new AD do?
Whoever that may be.
Nice season, Kirk, but you and your wife have to tell your oldest son he didn't have a job anymore.
Yeah, which could happen, which could very well happen. 319-366-1600. We haven't gotten to the other development in the Big Ten as far as football today is concerned, but we will do that. Again, if you're joining us late, we were scheduled to have Joe Sheehan on today. He had a last minute assignment come up. Will not be able to join us today. Is going to be joining us coming up next week. But we will talk about Mr. Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines here in just a little bit. But first, got to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update from Mark. It's brought to you by Emil's. They're on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Online at emilshideaway.com. They're open at 4 o'clock, 6 days a week. Open on Monday through Saturday. Stop on by. Big thanks to Jamie and Chris and Dave and everybody at Emil's.
One drama in New York has been resolved, at least for a year. Saquon Barkley of the Giants has signed a one-year $10.1 million deal with $900,000 in incentives. The deal also includes a $2 million signing bonus. Barkley expecting in camp next week. Former Iowa star Keegan Murray of the Sacramento Kings has been selected to the U.S. Men's Select basketball team. That team will practice with the senior group that will participate in the FIBA championships in August. Former Iowa State quarterback and Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy, has been quote-unquote cleared without restrictions to participate in practices and drills with the San Francisco 49ers. And finally, Zach Johnson today announced that Justin Thomas will join the Foundation Classic tournament next Monday.
That's a biggie. That is a biggie. Not playing his best golf of his career, certainly right now. But that's a big name to have at Elmcrest coming up on Monday. And we did talk with a couple of the folks from the Zach Johnson Foundation last week. If you'd like to go back and listen to that podcast or any of our podcasts, not only for our show, but also Spencer on Sports and the Todd Brommelkamp Show, you can do so at our website at kgymradio.com. And you can do it on Apple or Spotify as well. Justin says 9-3. But what do I know? Hey, Justin, you're in the same boat that we are. 3034 says I've got 8-4 and second in the division to Illinois. Interesting. Interesting. Is the Illini going to have enough offense? They're going to find enough offense to win a division championship. They got the defense. Just not sure they're going to have to win a lot of low-scoring games. They may look a lot like the 2022 Hawkeyes. Maybe no one will look quite like the 2022 Hawkeyes, but Illinois, I think, is a little bit offensively challenged going into the year. We shall see. I like Illinois, though. I like Illinois going into the year. We'll take a break, come back, and we're going to talk about Jim Harbaugh and what is happening in Ann Arbor. And we'll do that when we return to the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and it is going to be a hot and humid day today. We'll have plenty of sunshine, and temperatures will be climbing to a high around 90 degrees. As we head into tonight, some clouds will be building in, and there may be a few scattered storms around late tonight into early Wednesday morning. A storm or two could be strong with gusty winds and hail. Then, as we head into Wednesday, the clouds will clear, temperatures will climb up into the low to mid-90s, and heat index values could approach 100. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's Community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Walk to defeat ALS August 20th at Kingston Stadium in Cedar Rapids. It's the number one way to unite and fundraise for those living with ALS. Register today and help the Iowa chapter of the ALS Association provide local family assistance and research to unlock ALS.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank is a true community bank, believing service still comes with a local touch. Since 1924, Fairfax State Savings Bank provides secure, honest, relationship-based banking. They understand the little things that make our community special. Strong personal connections, sincere friendliness, and a sense of pride in local growth. And that's how they've succeeded for nearly a century. Learn more at thebankhere.com. Fairfax State Savings Bank in Fairfax, Amana, and Cedar Rapids. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Get ready for Oktoberfest in Uptown Marion September 16th. Sample tasty suds from 30 Iowa breweries. Enjoy live music and games. Your general admission ticket includes access to breweries and a commemorative tasting glass. There's also a VIP option that gets you in an hour early with exclusive samples and swag. Raise your glass at Oktoberfest September 16th along 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion. Presented by Sheets Forest Draper Insurance and the Marion Chamber of Commerce. Get your tickets now at eventbrite.com. Must be 21 or older.
Getty 11% off everything at Menards. Enhance your home scent with Airwick air freshener refills. They're long-lasting and contain natural essential oils to give your home a fresh fragrance that always smells welcoming. Use them with all Airwick air freshener warmers and save big money. A two-pack of Airwick refills is just $4.78 after 11% rebate at Menards. Good through July 30th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back with you on the Gym Class here in KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac all with you here today, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. Text line available at 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600. And we'll get to some Women's World Cup coming up. Trust us on that here in a little bit. But first, Mark, news before Big Ten Media Days coming out today. Jim Harbaugh facing a possible four-game suspension from the NCAA as the Michigan coach in a little bit of hot water, accused of being dishonest during an NCAA investigation over recruiting violations. Jim Harbaugh, when he first met with the NCAA, did not divulge everything that he should have told them about. He had a senior moment, apparently, even though he's only in his late 50s at this time. And sounds like it may cost the Michigan coach the first four games of the year.
I think this is another case of the cover-up being worse than the crime. You could disagree with me on that, but the investigation pinpointed the fact that Harbaugh met recruits during a COVID-19 dead period in during that time, and he texted a recruit when he was not supposed to. In addition to that, some of the Michigan analysts were doing some coaching on field, and the actual coaches took a look at the Zoom coverage of that particular practice. So as a whole, you know, Harbaugh comes forward, probably gets a slap on the wrist. I don't know, but this is inconsequential, really. Michigan's first four games are all at home. They being against East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers. Michigan is not going to miss a beat. Although the only thing that, you know, if you're Harbaugh, what do coaches do? Coaches coach. And he's not going to be able to do that.
He's going to be there every step of the way except game day. That's what it's going to be. A lot of people, including some of the analysts you heard at the top of the hour on ESPN Sports Center, saying, well, why not make this toward the end of the year? Well, yeah, you really can't do that. It's got to be in the first four games. And like you said, toughest game in that group is probably East Carolina, maybe. I believe they were a bowl team last year. Rutgers was as well. It's either East Carolina or Rutgers. Vegas was better last year. They're still abysmal, and Bowling Green is one of the lower-end teams in the MAC. Also, getting in hot water, Sharon Moore, the offensive coordinator, tight end coach Grant Newsom, and then former Michigan defensive coordinator Mike McDonald, who is not even with the program anymore. Here's the funny part. He got a one-year show cause penalty that would, of course, prevent him from a return to college athletics. But he is now in the National Football League. He is now the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens and Jim's brother, John Harbaugh. So Mike McDonald basically got out of this scot-free, if you will. I agree. These were not horrible problems. I mean, yes, they were things that Michigan should not have done. This is nothing like, you know, the 30 for 30 on SMU and the Pony Express allegations. Why cover these up? Are you just above the NCAA? Are you above the Big Ten Conference? Is that what Jim Harbaugh is thinking at this present time? I don't know. But I think it would have been pretty much a slap on the wrist. Maybe Michigan loses a couple of scholarships. Who knows? They're in line maybe to lose a few more now by a result of Jim Harbaugh basically lying to the NCAA.
Selective memory, right?
He had a select. Hey, 23. It's not only in football, ladies and gentlemen. It's everywhere. 319-366-1600. Yes, when these suspensions are put into place, why can't they be when it matters? Well, it's hard to say, like Joe from West Liberty says, can you say happy state? You never know when there's going to be a major upset. You probably aren't looking at it in those first four games against East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers. But, hey, it's happened before, right?
Well, it has, and Joe referenced the biggest – one of the biggest upsets in college football history, that Appy State game. Still remember watching it. Highly entertaining. And I wasn't sad.
Matt, the Michigan fan, was very sad, though. He was very sad. You know, that was the first ever football game on the Big Ten Network, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. A lot of people don't remember that. Do you remember that, Isaac?
No.
You don't remember an Appalachian State beating Michigan.
Well, I know it, but I can't recall.
You were probably what? You're gonna make us feel very old.
What year was it?
I'd have to look it up. You're looking it up right now. Tell us how old you were at that point and make us all feel really bad.
I would have been 7.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
That work for you, Mark?
No.
319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Big Ten Media Day is getting underway tomorrow. As I mentioned, Kirk Ferentz will be in Indianapolis. He'll be one of the seven coaches that will be talking with the media. And we'll see. I mean, a lot of interesting things mentioned. Not sure we're going to get a lot of big-time answers. As you talked about, Mark, I think Kirk Ferentz is going to be asked mainly about Noah Shannon and others that could be gone due to the gambling situation. I don't know what Kirk is going to say. Probably not a whole lot. He will be probably usual Kirk, pretty plain vanilla, and not giving a lot of insight to reporters over there in Indianapolis. But you never know. You never know. St. Elmo's, by the way, is going to do very well tonight in downtown Indianapolis. The next two or three nights, they're going to be doing just fine.
It's going to be interesting to see what Harbaugh says in regards to this situation. Oftentimes, Harbaugh is kind of the de facto star of Big Ten football media days just because of his demeanor and what he might say. Maybe he can't say anything in this regard until it's finalized, but could be interesting with Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. 3:42, a couple other things we need to get to in just a little bit. But, Mark, we asked for their input yesterday, and our friend from the 641 area code has weighed in, missed the show yesterday, but want to congratulate Scott on his favorite golfer winning the Open Championship this weekend. Our Brian Harmon guy.
A long memory.
Brian Harmon winning the Open Championship. Thank you, 5037, for that. And, hey, he got her done like we talked about yesterday. Go back and listen to the podcast at kgymradio.com or Apple or Spotify. And, yeah, we did talk at length yesterday about Brian Harmon's victory in the Open Championship. It was a very good performance by the plucky left-hander from the University of Georgia.
This text from 5037 in the 641 area code, just scrolling back, this goes back to the Masters, as you might know, Scott. The first text we got from said texter was April 12th because he said he lost his mortgage betting Brian Harmon.
I was a little early. I was a little – the crystal ball needed to, you know – just a little kick on the side to get it working again, and it spit out Brian Harmon. It was just at the wrong point of the year, right?
I think he meant to say he was going to win a major this year.
And he did. And he got one. He got one, certainly. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in on Jim Harbaugh, we talked a little bit about the Big Ten media poll, the unofficial Cleveland.com Big Ten media poll. In case you missed it, Michigan picked to finish first in the East with Ohio State second, Penn State coming in at number three. Maryland, Michigan State, Rutgers, and Indiana. And then in the West, it is Wisconsin, one vote ahead of Iowa, with Minnesota third, Illinois fourth, Nebraska at five, Purdue at six, and Northwestern, as you might imagine, in at number seven. So still time to weigh in on that if you would like to talk about that here on the program today. 3702 with a very interesting question as we go into Big Ten media days, or just media days for all of the conferences. ACC is going to get started as well. SEC has had theirs. Big 12 has had theirs as well. Do you think it's necessary for the Big Ten to name a preseason defensive player of the year, or an offensive player of the year, or preseason all Big Ten teams, et cetera, et cetera? It's for the fodder of people that want to talk about football at the end of July. Am I wrong about that?
No, it's absolutely right. And it's kind of tradition that media does this. Cleveland.com has been at the forefront of the Big Ten poll, but if you missed it, Marvin Harrison Jr., the offensive player of the year, preseason anyway, in the Big Ten. He, the Ohio State receiver, no surprise, no surprise. Blake Corum is up there from Michigan, the running back. Braylon Allen, who could be a difference maker for the Wisconsin Badgers. Very, very capable, tough running back. He got a lot of support as well.
He did. Yeah, it's just, you know, you got to have something, you got to have things to discuss. And that is why it is done. I mean, you can take that a step further, Mark. And we talked about the fact that you have written for these preview magazines before. How much tougher was it in, when did you have to have those done for publication in June or even before that? You probably were thinking football in March, right?
Yeah, maybe not that soon, but it wasn't long after that. I mean, you'd get your assignment and a deadline, and you'd have the opportunity to update it at some point. But then there was just a drop-dead date. You had to finalize the story. And once again, when I was writing and others, it wasn't a Phil Steele-type article. It basically was a feature. You know, say this year, it might have been a feature on Cooper DeJean. And just and then just a few paragraphs about the team in general. So there was less risk, you know, of Noah Shannon's going to, you know, sit out X number of games, whatever. Different approach back then, I guess.
Yeah, it was. It just tells you how excited and how much we miss the college football season. Yes, 0835. You are absolutely correct on that. We're going to get to a break coming up in a moment. But first, Isaac, front and center. We're a little more than 24 hours away from the United States and the Dutch going at it.
Yeah.
What has transpired today in Women's World Cup?
Yeah, yesterday's games were pretty nothing. It was exciting. Philippines got their first ever World Cup goal against
New Zealand. Now, they have some American blood on their team, correct?
Yeah, it's weird how they kind of maneuver some of that. There's like some U.S. men's team players that could have played for like the Netherlands. Sergiño Dest could have played for the Netherlands, or most famous Christian Pulisic could have played for Croatia, I believe. So there's some weird things as far as soccer goes with that, but that's fun to see. That's what makes soccer great, in my opinion, is seeing teams like that never scored a World Cup goal, score their first one against the hosts in New Zealand. Other than that, yeah, it was kind of boring games maybe yesterday. It's surprising to see Norway tie again. They were kind of a dark horse for some people coming into the tournament. We got Canada tomorrow morning, and they're going to need to bounce back after drawing in their first game. And otherwise, United States tomorrow against Netherlands. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what sort of tactical changes U.S. implements. Again, I'd like to see Ertz move back into midfield so she can kind of recycle the ball, I guess is the best way of putting it, where she gets the ball from the defenders and she gives them to the more creative midfielders on top of just hopefully Rose Lavelle gets more healthy. I think she's really crucial for how the U.S. want to play. Her vision is really fantastic in the way she's able to control the ball or able to have the ball at her feet. Very comfortable. And, yeah, it should be a pretty entertaining game. Netherlands have always had a intense pressing style, so I would imagine the women continue that. And I'd expect maybe a little bit of a higher scoring. I don't know. Maybe like a 2-1, 3-2. Sort of score. Okay. Hopefully U.S. win again.
You will not be sporting orange tomorrow, right?
No, I will not. It is my two teams as far as nations go. My grandma's from the Netherlands, if anyone's wondering. That's why I cheer for them when they're not playing the United States.
No orange
what
tomorrow.
What do you think of Japan and Spain?
Oh, yeah, Spain looks good. Again, they were able to just pass it around in their first game at 80% of the ball against Costa Rica. That was pretty big. And Japan, every year, it's always the same with Japan, is that it's usually they seem too defensive to score a ton, but they scored five, I think, in their first game. Granted, against not the best of opponents, but Japan has won the Women's World Cup before. I wouldn't be surprised if they're able to make another deep run. I wouldn't favor them or anything, but that's certainly it'll be really interesting to see who comes out on top in that group, because Spain versus Japan, it's kind of two different play styles. Spain likes to control the ball. Japan likes to soak up pressure a little bit. So that would be an interesting matchup when they go head-to-head.
It will be. That'll be, there you go, Isaac's World Cup update of the day. Quick break, come back, and have more for you here on the Gym Class. Stay with us, more to come right after this.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever, with $14 million in guaranteed prizes, only at Circa Sports. Enter Nevada, play from anywhere.
Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, make five picks against the spread each week with quarterly and full season payouts, or join Circa Survivor, where you select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all.
$14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Back at 3:52, Gym Class for a Tuesday on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, it'll be Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. So we'll talk some golf with Brian Haas coming up tomorrow. If you have a question about your game, go ahead. Think about it overnight. Get it ready to go on the text line tomorrow when Brian is here with us. We'll also take a look at day one of the Big Ten football media days and what Kirk Ferentz had to say. That'll be coming up on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Poll question available at kgymradio.com. It's brought to you by Steve Anderson and Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Has to do with the first of a short two-gamer tonight. I don't think, in fact, I know there has never been this less hoopla getting ready for the Crosstown Classic than this year between the Cubs and the White Sox. But we invite you to pick who is going to win tonight. Will it be the inept White Sox or the slightly less inept Cubs winning tonight on the South Side? Go ahead and vote at kgymradio.com.
Yeah, the Cubs are actually angling for the 500 mark at three games below, and the White Sox angling for September.
Thanking the good Lord, the Kansas City Royals are in their division this year. Sorry, Royals fans, but if it wasn't for that, it would be even worse. But somebody is going to win that game tonight. Will it be the Cubs or the White Sox? Speaking of baseball, Mark, not on the professional level, but on the high school level, Jeff Johnson, our good friend, broke the news last night that City of Cedar Rapids Colonels, they are looking to hopefully bring the 2024 part of the state baseball tournament to Vet Stadium here in Cedar Rapids. If you are not been following it, Duane Banks Field, the home of the Iowa baseball team, is going to undergo a renovation after the 2024 Big Ten baseball season. It will not be available next year for the state baseball tournament, the 3A and 4A portion. So it's going to have to be played somewhere, and why not play it in Cedar Rapids, right?
Right, and Principal Park in Des Moines has declined holding any more state tournaments, at least for the time being, basically because Major League Baseball sets minor league schedules now, and that's one hurdle Cedar Rapids would have to overcome. I can't believe that MLB wouldn't work with Cedar Rapids and the state to clear a week. I mean, it's a six-game road trip anyway, so why not you know, make a week available to hold perhaps the 3A and 4A state tournaments. And, I mean, you got a potential practice field right down the hill with the Jefferson Baseball Complex. I'm sure that could be utilized. I kind of look for it to happen, Scott.
I hope so. I hope it can happen. And, of course, I got everything going that, oh, we need to have one site for the state championships. Yeah, Principal Park was great. Fantastic. But it was 9 days, basically, for the Iowa Cubs. And they basically said they're not going to do that anymore. And I can't blame them. That's a long, long time. You can do it in a 5 day. You could do it in 4 days if needed. They stretched it out to 5 for both Carroll and Iowa City the last couple of years. And we'll see. Maybe we'll have 3A and 4A baseball in our backyard here coming up. Might be only be for 1 year, but hey, 1 year is better than no years. And also in high school news today, as expected, the Iowa High School Athletic Association and the University of Northern Iowa have extended their contract. The semifinals and the finals for state football will remain at the Uni Dome in Cedar Falls now through 2027, as expected, as I mentioned. So thank God for the great indoors in late November. All right, we will have Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. We'll take a look at day one of the Big Ten football media days coming up tomorrow. Tom Kakert, Hawkeye Report, is going to join us from Indianapolis on Thursday as well. And a lot more for you coming up on the Wednesday edition of the program. And have a great night, Mark. We will talk with you and Isaac tomorrow at 3.
I will indeed. Talk tomorrow.
All right, you've been listening to a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow at 3. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Stay cool. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Susan has always wanted to live in a chateau.
I like a certain je ne sais quoi.
While Jake is more into the Cape